Okay, Rabbi Sai, last 2 days of speaking about this inyan, it's actually very interesting because the speakers who come and arrive a few minutes earlier, I've had some feedback from them. They find the inyan quite fascinating. It's not something that people have come across previously, and they're not aware that there is even such an inyan, as I wasn't, for sure, before we started learning this. But we'll learn it today and on Sunday, and then Emir Tzashem, on Monday we'll start Tu Bishvat, because it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, so we'll start looking at Inyonim of Tu Bishvat, maybe Inyonim Brochas, we'll see. So, question comes as follows. So, I want to build a house of Avonim, but we're not allowed to build a house of Avonim, according to Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, because of the various three reasons that we discussed, and we want to get around it. So, can we get around it by doing a Mechiras Chometz? What do? I want to build a house of Avonim. It's my plot. I sell the plot. I sell the materials. I sell the entire thing to a goy. I build the house. Bishlichusoy, if you like, on his behalf. And at the end, I buy it back from him. So it's a little bit like Mechiras Chometz. And the question is, will it work or won't it work? And what are the Sforas? So the Sforas are from one point of view, why does people complain? Yeah, mechiras chometz is a trick. That's what they say. It's ha'aroma. Yeah, I'm not really selling to the goy. I know he's going to sell it to me back in the end, and therefore it's not a mechira gemura. There's not gemiras das, etc., etc. There are people who are makpid. They don't sell chometz gomor, but they do sell chometz noiksha, etc. The marsham says the svara is the other way around, that when I want to avoid an Issa Torah. Nobody wants to be over the Issa Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotzeh. I want to do something in order to avoid being over. I don't want to feel that on Pesach that I'm being over a lav every minute. And therefore, he says that when I do the Mechiras Chometz, for instance, I do it with the Gemar of Das. I really want the Mechira to work. He says, faket, it's not a trick, and it's not a joke, and there's nothing artificial about it. I do it because the Marsham says, I want it to work. And when I want it to work, then there is Gemiras Das. I am selling my chometz to the goy genuinely. I want him to own it over Pesach. I want him to be the owner. I don't want to be the owner. And therefore, says the Marsham, that's not a trick. Says the Marsham, similarly here in our case, where we're worried about the chashash of sakona. Now, there's a sakona, we said, the chas v'sholom, a person builds a house, that the various things, a house of stone, that the various things that the Sefer Chassidim said could happen, which are going to make happen to Mr. and Mrs. Chicken. You know? But the fact is that I don't want to be involved in this chashas sakona. Therefore, I want the mechira to work. I will have a proper gemira stas that I sell it. Zog de Marsham. And the same thing is in the Shivim Tamorim. They say that in the same way that Mechiras Chometz does work, and it's not a trick, because I have genuine Gemiras Das, Hu Adin, the same thing applies, that when I sell my house to the Goy, it's not a joke, and it's not a trick, and it's not a haroma. It's a serious sale. A serious sale. I want it to be effective. I want the goy to be the owner of the plot and the owner of the development for the period of the construction. And afterwards, when I buy back from him, that's also a genuine purchase. There's a genuine sale. There's a genuine sale and a genuine purchase. Sai by Mechiras Chometz. Yeah, and it's a very good what's called, where people say to you sometimes, or they think that by Mechiras Chometz, that maybe it's a bit of a harom, it's a bit of a trick, I don't really sell it. The answer is no, faket, says the Marsham. Because I don't want to be over the Issa of Chometz on Pesach, I do have a Gemiras Das. I want it genuinely to belong to the Goy over Pesach, and Hu Adin here, Mishum Sakona, I want genuinely that the house should belong to the Goy during the construction.
Started at the Turaway, Northwest London. Friday, Kof Zayin Teves, 16th of January. Reina Rav Raboruch Jalovsky Shlita, Pasha theme. This victoria is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Ari Bloom in honor of the birth of their grandson, Yaakov Chanuch, to Mr. and Mrs. Danny Bloom. He rots and shizko of Gadalus, so Rechub Lamas and Tovim. Our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Dov Ben, Rav Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zuchro Noli Brachov.
thank you again for the opportunity to start the day the Torah way. As mentioned in the introduction, may these Divrei Torah, Be'ezes Hashem Yisborach, Bilul Nishmas, Yidideinu Ayoko, Dudi Itzku, a tremendous pioneer and builder of Torah, Yihi Zichrei Baruch.
Amen.
It's a good quiz question to perhaps ask around your Friday night table tonight, and you can be guaranteed, I think, that most people might not give the correct answer, and that is, where does Rashi say, where does Rashi al Torah point out, Keneged Arba L'Shoynos of Geula? This week's parasha, the four L'Shoynos of Geula, so obviously everybody will tell you it's in Parshas Va'era, but it's not. Rashi makes no mention in this week's parasha of the Dalet L'Shoynos of Geula, even though there are Dalet L'Shoynos of Geula, Vo'itzesi, Ve'itzalti, Ve'go'alti, Ve'lokachti. Rashi makes mention of it in one place, al HaTorah, and that's in fact Parashas Shlach. The end of Parashas Shlach, when the Torah mentions the mitzvah of tzitzis, al arba kanfois, and Rashi says there, al arba kanfois, keneged arba l'shoinois shel geula. That, as far as I'm aware, is the only mention in Rashi al HaTorah of the arba l'shoinois of geula, and this obviously needs an explanation. In what way are the four corners of the beged, the mitzvah of tzitzis, how does this correspond, how does this relate in any way to the Dalet L'Shoinos Shel Geula? Now, we're more familiar with the Dalet L'Shoinos Shel Geula from a different Maimah Chazal, and that is, it's a Medrash, it's also a Gemara Yerushalmi. Minayin, what is the Makoir that we have four koisos, we drink four koisos in a Seder night, and there Chazal indeed say, Keneged Arba Geulos. So the correlation between the Dalet Koisos and the Dalet L'Shoinos of Geula is obvious regarding the number. Four Koisos, four L'Shoinos, but perhaps not so obvious. Why dafka four Koisos Shel Yayin? You could have had four apples as well, and that also would have corresponded to the Dalet L'Shoinos Shel Geula. Maybe we should stand on our head four times, and that would also be Dalet L'Shoinos Shel Geula. So whilst the number is understandable, but again, what's the correlation? What is the relationship? What were Chazal being mesaken? Dafka koisos shel yayin. So on a simple level, we would understand, because a kois always represents a Yeshua. Kois Yeshua is eso. So the Dalet L'Shoinos of Geula, which were representing the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, is perhaps best represented and symbolized by the Dalet koisos shel yayin, kois Yeshua is eso. But Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach, we'll see, amidst Hashem, a deeper understanding of this. So we're trying to work out, why is it that the mitzvah of tzitzis correspond to the Dalet L'Shoinos of Geula that we find in our parasha, and so too the Dalet Koisos of Yayin, Chazal were mesaken, keneged the Dalet L'Shoinos of Geula. So by way of introduction, let's try and address one of the oldest historical, sociological questions regarding Am Yisrael. Somebody told me, I've never seen the book, but somebody told me there's a book, it's a best-selling book in the United States of America. And the title of the book really says it all. And the title is, Why the Jews? Ad Kan, that is the kasha. That is the kasha that's puzzled and troubled historians, scientists. Why indeed the Jews? Why have Klal Yisrael always been the nation that has been persecuted and tortured and tormented? And I was told that this book deals not just with the cause of anti-Semitism, but with the trends of anti-Semitism. Because as we know from painful experience, these trends of anti-Semitism seem to go in waves. There are periods in our history that were darker, more brutal, more difficult for Klal Yisrael. And they're trying to work out in this book what would explain the trends of anti-Semitism, and also why is it that in some areas of the world there's more, some areas there's less. This is the project of this book. As mentioned, I've never seen. So when I was once investigating this subject, I asked a friend of mine, could you please discover, just do a bit of research for me, who wrote this book? Important for us to know who wrote the book. Is this a book that could be a source of Das Torah? And indeed, it's written by two Jews from America. One is a self proclaimed Mechalel Shabbos. He writes, he drives to shul on Shabbos, and the other one, I don't think was much better. See, either way, this clearly is not going to be the makor of our hashkafas. If we're trying to work out the reason behind this very painful historical phenomena, anti-Semitism, halacha, Rashi tells us it's a halacha. Esav seini leYaakov, it's a halacha. Halacha means it's chokuk, it's ingrained in the bria. Why indeed is that the case? So the theory apparently that this book proposes is as follows. Having studied the trends and the intensity and the locations of anti-Semitism throughout the ages, they reach a conclusion that clearly anti-Semitism is dependent and is proportional to the threat, the religious threat that the host country feel. In other words, if the Jews are more outwardly religious in a place, in a state which practices religion, then there's a clash of culture. And that's what triggers anti-Semitism. And in a nutshell, that really explains everything as far as they're concerned. And therefore, in those countries where there's very little religious observance, bichlal, so the Jews don't propose any threat. They don't represent a threat or any clash. You want to eat a matzah and you want to shake a lulav and you believe only in one God? No problem. We have no interest in following God or religions. Therefore, there's no clash of culture. And that would represent, that would understand, that would be our explanation of why in those countries there's no anti-Semitism. But in those countries that practice Christianity and Islam, so the Jews there represent a theological dichotomy. It's a big threat. And over there, that triggered anti-Semitism, and basically that's their theory. So as mentioned, this cannot be the source for us of Das Torah and Hashkafas HaTorah. And we'll see that our Makor of Hashkafas HaTorah, which is of course the Torah HaKadosha, Divrei Chazal HaKadoshim, as explained by Rabbi Seinu, G'dolei HaRishonim V'Achronim, not only explain the phenomenon of anti-Semitism differently, but as we'll see in a second, actually it's exact opposite of the hypothesis posed by this book. So I'd like to share with you a Yesoid Godoil Ma'oid. It's worth seeing it inside. It's a very lengthy piece in the Beis Halevi in Parashas Shmos. And I just want to quote a very small section of it, but it's Yesoide Hadas Mamish. It's Yesoide Hadas Mamish. Because obviously any look, any study of the subject of anti-Semitism has to be focused, of course, on Golus Mitzrayim. This is the very first time that the nation, Klal Yisrael, as a nation, are being persecuted. And the first time that anything appears in the Torah is always the source, is the Sheirish. If you want to understand the pnimius of the Inyan, then that's the place. So the Beis Halevi begins with a Pasuk in Tehillim. If you would open a Tehillim, Perek Kuf Hei, the opening words of that quite lengthy perek is Hoydu Lashem Kiru Vishmoy. Hoydu Lashem Kiru Vishmoy. David HaMelech is expressing Hoydoya to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we would expect that therefore this pasuk should be followed by all the chasodim and all the toivos and all the nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers upon Klal Yisrael, and that would explain the introductory pasuk of Hoydu Lashem Kiru Vishmoy. But we're startled to discover that in that very perek, later on, there's a pasuk that says, after it says, Shiruloi, Zamruloi, and all of a sudden there's a pasuk that says, Hofach Libom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has turned, has switched the hearts of the nations, Lisnoi Amoi, to hate his nation, to hate Klal Yisrael. Asks the Heilige Beis Halevi, Lisnoi Amoi, Hofach Libom, the most painful part of our long history is anti-Semitism. And this is where thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this? Hoydu Lashem Kiru Bishmoy. Despite anti-Semitism, there is so much to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Erev Avoykev Etzoroyim. But we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Hofach Libom Lisnoi La'avoy. Pelotzum. Right, so why are we thanking for this halacha? It's something that we have to contend with, it's something we have to grapple with, it's something we have to deal with, but why are we thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom for it? So the Beis HaLevi says a phenomenal yesod. And this is true hashkafas ha-teira and das teira of what anti-Semitism is really all about. He says you have to turn the clock back, as mentioned, and understand what was the golos in Mitzrayim, how did it all come about. And he quotes a medrash that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim were Moshech Orloson. And he has a lengthy piece to prove there that halachically, if somebody is Moshech, which effectively means he covers up the Mila, but he proves there that halachically you have not been mevatel the mitzvah. You have not been mevatel the mitzvah of Bris Mila, ayin shom ba'arichus. So what was the purpose? Why were they Moshech Orloson? For the simple reason, because they didn't want to look different. They didn't want to stand out. They didn't want to look unlike their host nation, the Mitzrayim. So they covered up the Bris Mila in a very clever way. On the one hand, they weren't mevatel the mitzvah, but on the other hand, it wasn't noticeable. Says the Beis HaLevi, Klal Yisrael have not yet received the Torah. This is the only mitzvah that they have is Bris Mila. This is the solitary mitzvah that actually demarcates the difference between Klal Yisrael and the Goyim. That is the whole purpose of the mitzvah, and Kol Shekein prior to Matan Torah, when it was the only mitzvah. To cover up the Bris Mila is absolutely antithetical to the whole Yesoid of Bris Mila, which is to show that you're different. And Kal Vachoyma prior to Matan Torah, where there was no other differences between Klal Yisrael and the Goyim. So he says, Klal Yisrael faced existential danger. If you cover up and you're trying to hide the difference between yourselves and Goyim, then eventually you get too close to the Goyim, and too close to the Goyim, assimilation, and Klal Yisrael vanish. Because there's no longer a difference between Klal Yisrael and the Goyim. And he says as follows, unbelievable words, and I'll quote, Im Yisrael hayu makarvim atzmam. If Klal Yisrael were running this terrible danger of being makarv themselves to the Goyim, oz HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechadesh hahevdel. If you don't make that difference, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do so. Al yedei zeh shemechadesh sino belibom. If you haven't kept your distance from the Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that that distance will be maintained. How? They will hate you. And here come the critical words. V'kol zeh l'toivoson shel Yisrael. K'dei shelo yis'arvu b'neihem. In order that there should be no assimilation. Hoidu l'Hashem kiru b'shmoy, says the Beis HaLevi. Anti-Semitism is very painful, but it's a necessary phenomenon. As the great Reb Chaim Volozhin once put it, if Klal Yisrael don't make Kiddush, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu send the Goyim to make Avdolah. Anti-Semitism, hofach libom lisnoi la'amoy, is something that needs to be introduced with hoidu l'Hashem kiru b'shmoy. Had Klal Yisrael only distanced themselves from the Goyim, then anti-Semitism wouldn't be necessary. But when that risk was being run of being swallowed up by the Goyim, because there was no longer a difference between the nations, then hofach libom. What does hofach libom mean? Hofach libom means HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns the hearts of the Goyim and he plants an irrational hatred. Again, look at Parashat Shemois. What was the pretext? What was the pretext for the whole of Golos Mitzrayim? A sfek, 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 sfeka. Hovon ischak malay pen. A whole list of sfekas. Maybe another nation, said Pari, will attack Mitzrayim. That was absurd. Mitzrayim at the time were the world superpower. And maybe Klal Yisrael will join the enemy. Why should they want to do that? And maybe they'll be victorious over us in war. Absurd, totally unlikely. And then maybe the Olam in Oretz, they'll drive us up. A whole bunch of totally irrational pretexts. The answer is, they did not instigate the Golos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Hofach Libom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns their heart. It's a chesed. albeit a painful one, shall zeh nema hoyidu l'Hashem kiru b'shmoy, and this has always been the secret and the history and the explanation of anti-Semitism. When 20 years before World War II, Reb Meir Simcha HaKohen, Reb Sameach, writes in his Pirush al HaTorah, the Meshech Chochmah, Parshas B'chukoisa, he writes there, Divrei Nevius, Pashat Divrei Nevius, Ruach HaKodesh Mamish, where he describes Klal Yisrael, oh so comfortable in Bonnie, Germany. And he writes there, Yachshoiv, there are those who think, ki Berlin, hi Yerushalayim. That's what he writes there. And if you think that Berlin is Yerushalayim, which obviously is translated to those who think that New York is Yerushalayim, and Paris is Yerushalayim, and London is Yerushalayim, and more tragically still, some people think that Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. But when we're surrounded by Goyim, and we're too comfortable, Yachshev ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim, all of the Holocaust, everything that happened is all predicted there, in Parshas B'chukos, in a lengthy piece. And what we're learning from the Beis HaLevi, Dvorim Nifloim B'Yesa, again, if we're trying to address this question of why the Jews, so their theory was, the more religious we are, so the more we pose a theological and religious threat, so therefore the more there's anti-Semitism. What are we learning from the Beis HaLevi? Fakeret Mamish. It's the exact opposite. It's not the more religious, to the contrary, it's the less religious. The more religious Klal Yisrael are, so the more that segregation between Klal Yisrael and the Goyim. So there's no necessity for Hofach Libom Lisnoi La'amoy. True Das Torah, Chazal is teaching us that the opposite is true. It's not the more Yiddishkeit, it's the less. If Klal Yisrael don't make that Kiddush, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make that Havdalah. And this has always been the story. If one traces a little bit, in the Gezeirah of Haman, Purim, another painful episode of anti-Semitism. But again, what brought it about? How did it all begin? Because they mingled with the Goyim. Nene misudas Eisa Herosha. 1492, the Spanish expulsion was the prelude to that, is the age called the Golden Age of Spanish Jewry, which turned out to be not so golden, because that's the point. If it's too golden, it's too good to be true, then indeed it's too good to be true, because if Klal Yisrael are not Mekadosh themselves, and they feel Yachshev ki Berlin Yerushalayim, then indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make Havdalah. There is a book, Lahavdil, written by a Godel B'Yisrael, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zeche Tzadik Livracha. Fascinating title, where he talks about the Holocaust in his book called Divine Madness. Those who have heard, who have read Rabbi Avigdor Miller's writings know that he doesn't mince his words in any which way. And he describes there the idyllic utopian shtetl that people describe, as if to say everything was marvelous and wonderful in Europe prior to 1939, and he writes there unequivocally, don't believe it, I was there. He learnt in Europe, in Yeshiva of Slobodka, and he said the lights were about to be turned out in Europe. The reform, the Haskalah was rampant. Klal Yisrael generations were going off the derech, and he writes there, the biggest chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for Klal Yisrael was the Holocaust. Very, very painful chesed, but it's a posuk. It's a posuk. Hoyidu l'Hashem kiru b'shmoy, hofach libom lisnoi la'amoy. So of course, we understand now that if the whole golus of Mitzrayim was precipitated by what? This mingling, this closeness, covering up the mila, then of course, the opposite must be true in order to leave Mitzrayim. The Geula can only come about when Klal Yisrael have learned the lesson, the painful lesson, and have understood that there does need to be that distance. So that's what Chazal was saying. How were they redeemed? Shiloi shinu shmom, and levushom, and malbushom. And we understand, what were the mitzvahs that they received? They received three mitzvahs before they left. Firstly, Rosh Rishon, Himoy Lachel B'Kol Zocha. Himoy Lachel B'Kol Zocha. That's the exact opposite of the mitzvah that they were trying to hide up. Oz, Yoshir Moshe, Oz, Chazal say Oz is gematria 8. Loi nigalu mimitzrayim elo bizchus hamila bishmoina. What other mitzvahs were there? Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh is the mitzvah in which we clearly announce and declare that we're different to the Goyim. The Goyim follow the sun, but we don't. We have a completely different calendar. And finally, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. There is no other mitzvah, B'chol HaTorah Kula, I think, that has more halachas in it to distance Goyim. Kol ben nechor lo yechal boy. Kol ore lo yechal boy. Take the very Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim, shecht it. The Rishonim say, why do you have to roast it? Because when you roast it, there's a lot of smoke, and that would antagonize the Goyim. Lo yetze ish mi Pesach beisoy. Nobody leave their house, remain secluded, don't mingle with the Goyim. Mishchu ukechu, say Chazal, distance yourself. Mishchu atzmo me Avodah Zorah. That is the purpose of all of these mitzvahs, and therefore, according to the Beis HaLevi, we understand them. That is the oimek. If the whole golus began by this over-closeness between Klal Yisrael and the host nation, then their ticket out has to be by once again being Makadosh themselves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to make Havdalah. They made it themselves. Rimei Simcha, again in his Sefer Oir Someach, coming back now to where we began. Meshech Chochma LaTeiro, Parshas Vo'eiro. He asks that second question that we asked this morning. Why 4 cups of wine? Could have 4 apples, 4 bowls of soup. Says the Meshech Chochma. He doesn't quote the Beis HaLevi, but Lo'oir Divrei HaBeis HaLevi, this shtickle in the Meshech Chochma is Dvor of Mehirim or Beirim. Lochein Tiknu Al Hayayin. Why? De Ein Moire. There is nothing that indicates more. Allah Havdalah, Yoisa Miyayin. Yoisa Miyayin. Do you remember Haman, he says, when Haman wanted to speak Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael, Tachashverosh, what was his example? It was the Yayin. And he said that if a fly falls in the Yayin of the Jews, they've got no problem drinking, they take out the fly. But if a goy touches Yayin, then they won't drink it. He was very smart, Haman. Hat er gut verstanden. That is the whole gezeira of yayin, stam yenom, gezeira of chasnas. So that there should be, chas v'shalom, no marriage, assimilation between Klal Yisrael and Goyim. Klal Yisrael were given this gezeira by Chazal of stam yenom, says the Meshech Chochma. Therefore, there is nothing more that indicates havdalah bein o'amim and Klal Yisrael more than yayin. And that's why Chazal's takana was not to have 4 apples on the Seder night. Take that kois of yayin. What do we say when we hold that kois? Vehi sha'amdo lavayseinu. Some explain, vehi, this yayin, this gezeira of yayin, omdo, that's what stood us in good stead. That's what's kept us apart. B'chol doir v'doir, oimdim oleinu l'chaloyseinu. How have we maintained? How have we survived? Vehi sha'amdo with the gezeira of yayin. That's why Chazal will masaken dafka the kosis of yayin. Those correspond to the dalad l'shoina shel geula, and therefore I think it's very obvious. Our first question was, why does Rashi bring, and it's a Chazal, that the arba kanfois, the mitzvah of tzitzis, is keneged dalad l'shoina shel geula? Again, according to the Beis HaLevi, it's posha to borrow. What is the whole purpose of the mitzvah of tzitzis? As Chazal tell us, Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Nun Zayin, it's the mark on our begodim. We stand out. Ureisa Moisoi, make sure that the difference between you and Goyim is clearly noticeable. It's our badge of honor. On that posuk in Tzitzis, the Sforno in Parashat Shalach says, Tizkuru Sha'atim Avodim Lakeil Kachoisim HaMelech. It's that stamp. We are the Avdei Hashem as opposed to the Goyim. And therefore, our initial 2 questions, I think, have been answered. The Dalad L'Shoina Shel Geula are represented, number 1, by the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis where we show proudly that we are different. We dress different. That's the Shelo Shinu Malbushom. Our Malbush is indeed different to the Goyim. That's the inyan of the Dalad L'Shoina Shel Geula, where we're celebrating the Geula, which was all in the Zechus of indeed understanding, albeit painfully, that yes, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're not making Kiddush, then he has to make Avdalah. And the second question, why on Seder night the Dalet Lashonos correspond to Dalet Kosos? Why Dafke Yayin? It's not just Kos Yeshuos Esor, it's Dafke Yayin, said the Meshech Chochma, that's Moira al HaHavdalah, and that is really the aside, as we mentioned, of anti-Semitism on the one hand, and how we could be Zoicha to Geula on the other. Let me just finish with a story which I saw in a sefer. The sefer is called Meshivas Nefesh. Meshivas Nefesh was written over 600 years ago by one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yochanan Luria. And I'll just read it. It sends a chill up the spine, but it represents everything we've just discussed. He writes there, the Mechaber, he was born upon inquiry in 1440. Ubedidi have a uvda, he writes. The story that I'm about to tell you, he says, was concerning me. He says, I lived in Strasbourg. V'hayinu mutsuvin, we were instructed by the government, and listen to how scary this is. What does this remind us? L'samein bebogdeinu, everybody had to wear on their beged b'tseva gael, a yellow badge. We've all seen photos. We've all read about the yellow star. That's not a new phenomenon. This existed hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He writes that one day I was walking around, as instructed by the government, with his yellow badge. All Jews had to wear a yellow badge. Ubo koimer echod, a priest, a Christian priest, approached me. V'omar li, Yehudi, ma ze hasimen? Why are you wearing this yellow badge? Amarti loy, ain't you idea? I have no idea. He says, the government have told us this is what we have to do. Why we have to do this, I have no idea. If you would tell us, he writes, to carry very heavy weights, then we'd have to do that as well. We have no choice. You're asking me, why am I wearing this yellow badge? Listen to the Musad Rasha that the Christian priest told this Rabbi Yochanan Luria. Hey Shivli, so he said to me, Im ein choyoy deya, if you don't know, agid lecho, I'll tell you. Unbelievable drasha he gives him. He says, there is an adoin kol ha'aretz, a master of the universe, shebochar eschem, who chose you. You are the chosen nation, this Christian priest tells Rabbi Yochanan Luria. And he says, it says in your Torah, Vo'avdil eschem min ho'amim liyo isli. You are supposed to be separated, liyo isli, in order to indeed be the chosen nation. He says, you have therefore in your Torah various mitzvahs whose entire purpose is that very point, to make sure there's Vo'avdil. Again, this is a Christian priest. He says, you have the mitzvah of milah. That's the chosem on the guf. You have the mitzvah of mezuzah. That's the chosem on your bias. And then you have the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's the chosem on your beged. Hatzad hashovesh abeineim, he said, in order to be a kind of avdil. Your guf is different, your beged is different, and your bias is different. And he says, do you know what's happening here? Misbaishim me'oisei simen. You seem to be embarrassed of your tzitzis, says the Christian priest. V'loy oid, you're walking around b'malbushe ha'umois. You're dressing like the goyim. Gozar oleichem eloikeichem, he said. Do you know why you're wearing a yellow badge? Nothing to do with the government. They're puppets in the hand of the melech malchei hamlochim. Liois mesuman. If you're not happy to wear a badge of pride, then you have to wear a badge of shame. B'simen genai she'ein bo'itam. U'me'eis Hashem yizbarach, Rabbi Yochanan Luria says, that Baruch Hashem, I was okay, because I told this Christian priest that actually I am wearing tzitzis after all. Omar bazeh lo yispayes. I'm sorry, you haven't calmed me down. You should have been wearing it on top of your begodim for it to be nika lakoil. Sometimes we need to hear from the outside that we should be proud. Va'avdil eschem enoamim, beguf, babeged, ubabayis. And if we're not proud of looking different, of speaking different, of being different in every facet of our lives, if we're not makadosh ourselves, then chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees we're not making kiddush, then he has to make havdalah. Hofach libom lisnoi la'amoy, which ultimately, says the Beis Halevi, is the teivoson shel Yisrael. Hoyidu l'ashem kiru v'shmoy. The yayin and the tzitzis, those mitzvahs that represent that separation, the distance between Klal Yisrael and the goyim, that's where we find the inyan of dalel u'sheni shel geula. So Beis Hashem, in these weeks, important weeks of Shevavim, we're understanding the yisoid of the geula. Beis Hashem, we should be zoicha to mekayim this pasuk va'avdil eschem bein ha'amim liyosli omein v'ken yeret.
Thank you.